Welcome to the midday now. Sort of, well, a lot of things going on, converging all at the same time. So if anybody sounds out of breath, that's why. People running up the stairs, rushing in at the last minute.
A confluence of talent meeting here in the studio.
That's right. A really heady brew we have going.
We do. We are very pleased to welcome Marc Vallon. He's a professor of music at UW-Madison and bassoonist for the Wingrow Woodwind Quintet. He's a native of France, studied at the Sorbonne and at the Paris Conservatory, where he earned 2 Premier Prix for bassoon studies. Founding member of the Nielsen Quintet, focused on contemporary music, but contemporary is not all. Lots of early music as well. He was the bassoonist with the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra and performed with La Chapelle Royale, Les Affloissants, the Orchestra of the Age of Enlightenment, and Toffel Music. And he's a composer. Welcome.
Thank you.
Monsieur Vallon.
Thank you.
And we also welcome back Trevor Stevenson, who is the harpsichordist and artistic director of the Madison Bach Musicians, who has a DMA in historical performance of 18th century music. Boy, is that pretty specific.
See, that's destruction of mass.
From Cornell, and builds and customizes keyboard instruments from Italian Renaissance to Victorian pianos. And not only that, has released, a dozen recordings or so on his own label called Light and Shadow, tours and performs and lectures about music, particularly the music of Bach. And welcome, Trevor.
Thank you.
Wow, it must
we're
be about 12:30 by now. All those credentials. They're certainly humbled in your presence.
They're here because they're performing as Madison Bach musicians this weekend.
Yes, indeed. It's upon us.
It's October 2nd and 3rd, and it's, let's see, the same concert twice. Is that it?
Yes, so far as we can make it, right.
So far as you can make it so. Yeah. With a Corelli Concerto Grosso, more about that in a minute. A Vivaldi Bassoon Concerto, more about that in a minute. And Bach's C Major Orchestral Suite. Let's see, which one of the four would that be?
Number one,
of course.
Right. He always started in C. He could. <yeah.
laughs> Good place to start. And then Haydn, Symphony number 26 in D minor, or one of those darker Haydn symphonies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of just a few in a minor key. It's called Lamentation, no less.
Right.
Well, that'll be very instructive and entertaining at the same time, either of those two concerts. Did we mention where they are happening?
No. I don't think so.
In Madison at First Congregational Church on University Avenue.
Right over by Camp Randall Stadium. Beautiful, Georgian.
7:15 Saturday night and 2:15 Sunday. And let's see. Oh, that would be the time for the pre-concert lectures.
Right.
Which I can vouch for as being highly entertaining also and very meaty.
Yeah. We'll do our best.
Let's see which... metaphors you spin off the top of your head this time.
Okay.
You're always very, my favorite one of late was when you said that, let's say, Bach, the generation of Bach was to church music as we are to videos.
Oh,
I just couldn't get enough of it.
Right. Everybody was making music, and it was like we're all making videos. Right, exactly.
So anyway, pre-concert lectures at 7:15, 2:15, concerts to follow, Saturday night and Sunday.
What I have really enjoyed about the performances of the Bach musicians, Trevor and Mark, is that you really help us to hear what's different about the instruments and the performance of them, what difference it makes to hear it on gut strings and to hear it in a space that you would have heard it in the 18th century.
Right. I mean, I think that the period instruments, when they're approached in a loving fashion by their players and with great skill, it really makes the music speak as well as sing. I mean, it's a language and it's full of sound and silence that that is harder to achieve on modern instruments, and it's really hand in glove with the period instruments. Also, just because they produce their pitch much quicker than a modern instrument, the pitch we always say gets into the air immediately, and pitch does something to us viscerally. So we exploring those avenues with it is what we try to do. Mark's been playing early music longer than I have. Yeah, so I mean, what would you say?
No, what you said is very true. I mean, it's the instruments themselves have a different way of articulating, of producing sound, tone, and the bows are different, the reeds are different for the woodwinds, the natural horns, for instance, that we're going to have in the symphony don't have any valves. It's just handmade music. So it has something really, really interesting to it.
Well, we're going to get into the difference between a Baroque bassoon and a contemporary one after we've heard some Corelli. And the Corelli at hand is one that you performed, the Madison Bach musicians performed...
Two years ago.
October of 2008. Right. Anything in particular about this?
It was recorded over at Grace Episcopal Church, which is another lovely venue here in town on the square. This is Corelli at his at his finest. You know, he didn't publish a lot, but everything he published was perfect in the extreme. So this is a Concerto Grosso. I think it's number 12 in his set. Just listen for the gorgeous violin writing. I mean, he was a great violinist, and everything he does, you know, is to the violin what Chopin is to the piano. I mean, it just leaps off the instruments. So
who's the violinist here?
This is Kangwon Kim playing, and Corelli often starts with these, you know, adagio movements are, you know, very what I call idealistic and pastoral.
He does here. Starts with an adagio, and then we'll match that, pair it with the following allegro in this performance by the Madison Bach musicians. Nice paired movements there by Arcangelo Corelli.
A performance of the Madison Bach musicians from about 2 years ago. They're getting ready for another season.
Right, and we're doing more Corelli this Saturday and Sunday. We love him. It's hard to stay away from. Right. I always say idealistic. That's what I always think he's trying to help you find something in you that is better. And he lived that way too. He was very ascetic the way he lived. He had almost no furniture or anything. Just paintings that he would buy, and he walked everywhere. It's like the Henry David Thoreau of the 17th century. It was an interesting guy.
Yeah, a generation before Bach, 1653, I think, to early 18th century. Yeah, so it's a music that would be, if not old-fashioned, at least sort of yesterday's sound for Bach.
Right. Hopefully somebody that Bach would feel comfortable. I'm sure he studied him and felt comfortable talking with him, as it were. You know. So,
Mark, you're going to be the bassoon soloist for the Vivaldi Concerto.
Vivaldi.
He wrote quite a few of these.
Yeah, which surprisingly. Yeah, when you look at the long list, there are about 39 concertos by Vivaldi, which is surprising in a way. But I think when you think about it, Vivaldi was always very interested in new things, you know, new type of sounds. He was a very, very innovator. Mm-hmm. And the bassoon in 1725 was a pretty new thing. So I guess when he came probably from Germany to Venice as a sort of, you know, guest artist, Vivaldi probably heard it and just found it so interesting that he had the Pietà by a couple of bassoons, presumably, and have all these often, you know, girls who had lots of time to practice before they got married, put them on the bassoon and just, you know, write so many concertos for them.
He must have had some pretty talented bassoon players.
Absolutely, because they're really extremely difficult. But I think that's one of the things that Vivaldi liked about the bassoon is this possibility. He's got a wider range, even if it's a Baroque bassoon starting to, you know, emerge as an instrument. It's got a wider range than the oboe at that time. And Vivaldi is always very fond of these big leaps and just, you know, has how low and high can you go in the shortest time possible. Uh-huh. So he uses the bassoon quite a bit that way.
If we see a bassoon in the symphony today and then compare that to what you'll be playing or what Bach or what Vivaldi would have been writing for, what's the difference?
Well, the the main difference is the number of keys and the bore of the instrument. It's hard to, of course, you know, show the bore because that's, of course, obviously inside. But the number of keys we have on a baroque bassoon I'm going to play on Saturday, four brass keys, very, very simple. And, you know, opposed to the modern bassoon, who has something like 20-something. So,
a lot of hard work.
Right. So what you do is what I was talking about, the natural horn, it's more like handmade fingerings, and it's more like a smaller craftsmanship production than this big technical machine which the modern bassoon has become.
So which one is harder to play?
Well, I would think, there's this old myth that the instruments have improved over the centuries.
Oh, sure,
and
yes,
I believe this is absolutely not true. I mean, it's easier in a way to play a nice Rameau phrase on the baroque bassoon that it is on the modern. But if I had to play the Jolivet concerto, I would certainly not use my baroque bassoon. I think each repertoire has evolved with the instruments. And for instance, the trills, the ornamentation, the colors you can get, the difference of tones you get between different tonalities, different keys on the baroque bassoon, something that composers have used quite a bit, is actually easier to achieve once you know the instrument, of course, than on the modern instrument.
So the bottom line is it's easier to play a composer's music on the instrument for which
he
wrote it.
I do believe that. Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does it sound differently?
Well, it's a darker, softer sound, and so the pitch is different. So everything is, let's say, if you play in C major, for modern pitch, it would sound in B. So everything is a little lower, and sort of more evenness and more blending with the cello section with basses, which is one of the nice features of the baroque bassoon.
So we will hear all that happening in this, which we're about to hear.
I hope some of it.
This is Marc Vallant with ensemble in a performance of Bassoon Concerto by Vivaldi. We'll hear, the last movement.
It's actually a trio with recorder.
Oh, right, trio sonata, right.
Yeah, trio sonata with recorder. It's one of these virtuosic pieces that he wrote for the recording of the bassoon. And I guess it's the last movement.
Now let's continue where we were speculating there. That was the finale of a trio sonata by Vivaldi featuring one of our guests, Marc Vallant, on the bassoon. Why were these young ladies such good performers? Well, first we should back up a step and say that Vivaldi wrote much of this music for the girls at this, I guess we'll call it an orphanage, but that's not quite right, is it?
Apparently,
where he worked.
I mean, what I had learned recently was that these were young, female daughters that were illegitimate children of wealthy noblemen.
Wouldn't it have been better if they'd been illegitimate daughters of musicians? Then you'd really have a gene pool to work with. But it seems to have had a pretty good talent pool as it was.
I'm afraid the musicians didn't have the money
to support the school.
Something's never changed.
Yeah, right. But apparently the money was quite available because the noblemen, they were keeping the school funded.
Had a staff composer, after all.
Right.
Yeah, and,
The school had such a reputation that apparently parents would try and drop off their legitimate daughters to try and get them in and pass them off as being illegitimate.
There was such a wonderful reputation.
Education.
That's amazing.
It would be good for a little psychotherapy after a while, wouldn't it?
Right. I see a movie in the make. I mean, somebody should make the Red Priest and the Orphanage, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was Vivaldi's nickname, was the Red Priest. I guess he had red hair.
I guess so.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So. And anyway, some beautiful
recording. But these obviously must have been very capable young ladies.
Sure.
Yeah, that was, you know, as you said, Stephen, that was such a famous place. People would travel from all over the place to come to these concerts. It was really the best concert in Venice, beside the opera, of course.
Right. Somebody told me, I don't remember if it was you, Trevor, or somebody else, who told me that this actually was sort of a marriage market, too, that you would actually see the young lady perform and say, well, I would really like to marry a bassoonist.
Right.
Yes. I hope she got a good husband, because she worked really hard.
Sort of the equivalent of the online thing that goes on today, but a little bit more up close and personal.
Now, the Madison Bach musicians are going to be doing Haydn, so you're moving a little bit forward in time there.
Yeah, we wanted to try something a little, you know, after Bach. And this is a symphony from Haydn, kind of mid-career, and often it's lumped into his Sturm und Drang period, the storm and stress period. It's a very tempestuous motive. Actually, the opening of this symphony is very similar to the Mozart D minor piano concerto in the same key, right?
Which must have come much later.
Yeah. And D minor was a key of storms for them. Anyway, so this is, you know, I think Haydn at his very best. And the movement ends in this joyous D major, too. This is all in the first movement with the horns and the oboes really going to town. We're very excited about doing it. It actually requires a slightly different bow for the string players. It's more what they call a classical bow, not a Baroque bow, for a little more sustain, a little more beef to the sound.
So you have to retool for this.
A little bit, right, yeah. And the Baroque bow is the highest articulation value. You know, it's just a very, very light on its feet. So we're excited to try this all on one program. Right? Mark is conducting.
Oh!
Right? He will be out.
Right, yeah. I didn't know that last week, but I
right.
All right.
Just the way Haydn probably would have done it.
Yeah, know? It's very authentic. Who's free? You know, who can come back? Yeah, okay, you don't play. Okay, you do this.
You're going to conduct.
Now, the name of that symphony is the Lamentation Symphony. Does that have religious overtones or religious connotation?
Yeah, it does. For a long time, they thought it was related to a Christmas. Had a Christmas association, but it really is the theme is a Passiontide theme that you hear in a couple of different movements. So it's a tune that people would have sung at the Passiontide. And of course, Haydn is just using it very thinly there and making this dramatic gesture out of it. So it probably had Easter associations, you know. Haydn didn't give it that title. That's just was glommed on.
Right.
No more than Beethoven gave the Moonlight Sonata its title. Right?
Yeah, definitely subject to imagination.
Right. Right. But it's interesting still.
Will you have bigger forces for that particular piece?
Yeah, the orchestra's about 19 players, something like that. Four first violins, you know, three seconds, a couple of violas, a couple of cellos, a bass, harpsichord in the back. You know, and horns and oboes. So we're also thrilled that two extremely great virtuosos on the Baroque oboe are coming for this, Catherine Montoya and Curtis Foster. Baroque oboe, like the Baroque bassoon, is just fiendishly difficult to play, and people who have mastered it are a joy to have. So we're thrilled that they're going to be here. And the object with the Baroque bassoon and with these oboes and all that is that the sound is very warm, and the wood is the primary speaker, you know, and what it makes possible is the blending with, you know, and with the natural horns as well. It's we're thrilled, and rehearsals tonight.
If you're in South Central Wisconsin, within striking distance of Madison, that concert is at the First Congregational Church on University Avenue in Madison, Saturday night at 8 with the pre-concert lecture at 7:15, and then Sunday at 3 with a pre-concert lecture at 2:15. And I will attest to the fact, as Norman did at the beginning, that those are fascinating, really interesting lectures. Brings a lot of the music, a lot of the listening to life. And for information, you can visit their website, which is madisonbachmusicians.org, madisonbachmusicians.org. And in the Madison area, there are a number of places you can actually purchase tickets. You can find that information on the website. And there's a phone number as well for information. What's that phone number for tickets, Trevor?
608-238-6092. Okay.
And that gets us very close to the quiz question. Thanks, gentlemen, for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you.
Pleasure to have you with us. And I'm sure it will be some really stimulating performances.